Okay, I'll go ahead and call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order at 12:06 PM on Saturday, May 30th. And present today, we do have Representative Allard, Representative Moore is online, and Representative Stapp, Representative Bynum, Representative Co-Chair Shroggy, Representative Co-Chair Josephson, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Hannon, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. And see, I know online we also have Representative Underwood watching, as well as in the audience we have Representative Colombe and Representative Mears and Senator Olson. Thank you for joining us. And to the public also, thanks for being here today. And today, just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones, and we do have House Bill 381, that is the gas line bill, and we'll be taking public testimony. And just to make sure that we're able to get to everyone who would like to testify, we were asking folks if they can try to limit their testimony to about 2 minutes. We do have a sign-in deadline of 2:30. Folks can be signed up by 2:30. And if anyone would like to submit written testimony, they can do so by emailing us at house.finance@akleg.gov. Again, that is house.finance@akleg.gov. And so with that, I'm going to start in the room. Let's see, it looks like we've got... I'm going to mix it up. I'll take, looks like we've got 2, 4, 6 folks in the room. I'll probably do 3 in the room, and then we'll do 3 online, then 3 in the room. And so with that, I'd like to first invite up here in the room Mr. Thomas Mason, if you're in the room. And if folks could just put themselves on the record, just state your name and if you're affiliated with any organization or just if you're just testifying on behalf of yourself, that's fine as well. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you and appreciate the opportunity to speak. I'm speaking on behalf of myself today. I got 2 points I'd like to make this afternoon. Sorry about that. One is a businessman. I think it's kind of humorous that the request by the legislature to access Glen Farms private contracting data and on their suppliers and their customers. As a business owner, if I had that kind of access to my vendors, I can tell you I would have run most of them out of business. So I think you guys have access to appropriate resources. You don't need to be asking them for that type of information. Secondly, probably more importantly, as a father, I moved here 30 years ago pursuing opportunity from the lower 48. I had the wonderful chance to raise 4 kids in the state. Unfortunately, 2 of them have left to pursue opportunity in the lower 48. I also have 1 more that's leaving here in September, which kind of saddens me that they don't have the opportunity here in Alaska. So what I would ask is you consider this bill and consider the generational opportunity you have to provide opportunity back to Alaska and my kids. And if not, you're going to stand there looking for a handout and money from all these organizations. I have 1 more request. Just make sure to turn the lights off and lock the door when you leave and join the crowd going to the lower 48. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Great. Thank you. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank the Midtown citizen for putting in your 2 bits. I think it's so important that you take the time to come here, and I wanted to let you know I'm grateful.
Through the chair, thank you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you for being here. And next up, we're going to go over to Ms. Judy Patrick, if you could also put yourself on the record. Also, I'd like to note that we do have with us Representative Jimmy as well as Representative Eichheit. Thank you for joining us, Representative Eichheit.
Hi, my name is Judy Patrick. I live in Wasilla. I've been involved in attending a lot of industry events since the early 90s. When I first started hearing about discussions for a natural gas pipeline then, the problem, as you know, there are many problems with building a gas pipeline, but you have to have such a long view. Like, these companies aren't going to make any money on this for maybe 20 years. And so I just want to encourage the state, rather than trying to figure out how to tax it to death, to consider that if they are having the ones, they're the ones that are having to put forth all the money, all the investment, but they're not going to reach a profit for decades. And the way that, you know this already, the way that these things are priced is, it's like it's a crystal ball thing. It's like you need the crystal ball to know what gas is going to be worth. And these people make these commitments with all these things in the future. And so what I want to encourage you is to figure out a way to help this company, a private company, not asking for the state to give them money to build it. They just want the gas to put in their pipeline. But we have to have a long view if we're going to make it happen. And I just want to encourage you guys to keep that in mind when you're thinking about how you're going to tax them. Like, don't kill it. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Patrick. And next up, we've got Aaron McKay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron McKay. I have lived in Alaska since 1990, and I've worked most of my career, 30 plus years, in the Alaska oil and gas industry. Much of it on TAPS and then in Cook Inlet and the North Slope. And I worked in Cook Inlet back in the 90s when I did a lot of other things, and then back in the teens. And now I own my own business here. And for me, there's many, many reasons why I think a lot of people support this project. But for me, the biggest one is energy security. Alaska is an energy island. Most places elsewhere in the world, if something happens to one supply, you can divert and you can buy it from somewhere else. We don't have that option. And working in the industry, and especially up on the North Slope, I've watched them re-inject a world-class gas supply for going on 50 years. It'll be 50 years this coming, or next year in June, 49 years. So, you know, we have to make sure we can keep people's homes heated. We've been re-injecting gas up there that would supply us and a lot of other needs while we worry down here about brownouts and whether or not we have enough gas to keep our houses warm in South Central. I attend a conference every year in Berlin. It's an international pipeline conference, and I've watched presentations where entire countries had to very quickly and expensively adapt, like when the Nord Stream gas lines were sabotaged and they lost their supply in the Ukraine war and everything that's going on now. So for me, just again to reiterate, the number one thing is energy security and that it be affordable. And we have to have a tax structure that supports moving projects like this and others in the future going forward.
Great. Thank you. I don't see any questions. So thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, I'm going to go online here, and we'll take three folks from the phones, and then we'll come back to the room here. So next up, I have Mr. Dave Bronson, former mayor of Anchorage. Mr. Bronson, if you could put yourself on the record.
Great. To the committee, I'd like to say thank you. My name is Dave Bronson, former mayor of Anchorage, and I understand you folks down there a long time, the sacrifice you make being away from your families. I'd like to speak to the issue of right now, three issues. One is the opening of the books of these private companies to the legislature. I'm really concerned that once you start doing that, and we're making the same threat, it seems, to Hillcorp, when we make these threats, when does it end? You know, and companies see this, companies that want to invest in energy infrastructure here in Alaska see this, and they make these decisions to just not come here. So I think that's very not well thought out, and we need to reconsider that. Also, too, I want to express the urgency here. Three days ago in Fairbanks, the good folks up there who are already facing incredibly high heating costs, we're just told that their heating bills were going to go up by over 60%. They're in crisis mode. It's urgent along the rail belt, but in Fairbanks in the interior, it's a crisis. So we need to get this done and get this done soon. The other thing is on the issue of time. If we delay too much longer, we're going to miss another construction season. We need to get this program going because these delays in time jeopardize this project. Finally, when we do these things, when we delay these really good projects, we're simply killing opportunity for all Alaskans up here. This issue shouldn't be about how much money the government gets, but how much gas, natural gas, we have for the people to heat their homes and electrify their homes. So I just want to encourage you, get to yes on this project absolutely as soon as possible. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bronson. And I just also want to let folks know we do have also three people at the LIO up in Fairbanks. So after we finish up with three people on the phones, then we'll go up to Fairbanks. So with that, next we have Terry Hinman. Looks like you're calling in from Healy. Mr. Hinman, if you're there, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hello, I do apologize. I had the phone on mute, so you didn't have to listen to my wife and I talking. First of all, my name is Terry Hinman. I have lived in the state of Alaska for over five decades. I have heard talk of a gas line for so many years, all the time I've been here. Anyway, I have a few points I would like to make, and please bear with me, and I appreciate the time to speak. In all candor, I am a member of the Community Advisory Council with AGDC, Alaska Gasline Development Corporation. And our main mission is affordable gas for Alaskans. So one of the main points is there is continued talk about importing gas from Canada or from Washington or, and that's to me is not a viable option. Number one, the cost of an import facility alone. Number two, the time of building an import facility. And number three, you allow the outside suppliers to mitigate what cost we pay as Alaskans. Another point I would like to make is that, South Central is in a dire energy crisis. That means all of Alaska is. South Central is so close to running out of gas. When I started talking about the gas line with people in 2010, South Central was very short on gas. And now it's at a dangerous level. So the construction of a gas line needs to be considered and considered promptly. For that to occur, excessive taxation on any business or company will hinder or restrict it to the point that they do not want to make the investment. We need to make our tax code structured in such a way that it's favorable both to the company and to Alaskans. So there's a lot of other points I could make, but I think I'm about out of time. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak. And we need something, something needs to happen and happen soon. We're in a very dire energy situation in this state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hinman. We do have a question from Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster, to the Chair, Mr. Hinman. I just want to thank you for calling in. Appreciate your testimony today.
And also just a reminder to everyone, if you'd like to submit written testimony, you can do so by emailing us at house.finance@akleg.gov. One more time, that's house.finance at akleg.gov. And next up, we have Howard Maxwell calling in from Fairbanks. Howard, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Foster, Schrage, and Josephson. And thank you to the honorable members of the House Finance Committee for listening today. I'd just like to make a couple of quick points. First of all, I'm speaking for myself. I came up to Fairbanks in 1982, and I came up here to work on the Natural Gas Pipeline Archaeological Survey. And so that puts it in perspective how long we've been talking about a pipeline. But in Fairbanks, people are leaving. We can't go on like this. I have a 1,200 square foot house, and we spent over $10,000 on heating oil this year and over $3,500 on electricity. So the spur line needs to be a prerequisite in the project. When we get a supply of affordable gas, if that becomes available in Fairbanks, we'll be able to add major industrial users like Fort Wainwright, our hospital, our university, and most importantly, GDEA could utilize the huge volume. And that would significantly lower electricity costs. Lowering electricity costs in Fairbanks brings down the state average and thereby lowers PCE, helping most rural Alaskan communities. And system-wide increases in volume will bring down the cost for South Central ratepayers as well. So including the spur line is really a no-brainer. And thank you to the Resources Committee for your cross-partisan work in getting that in the language in the bill. Secondly, on the volumetric tax and the need for abatement, okay, fine. Arrive at something reasonable. You guys are the Finance Committee. I'm sure you can figure it out. And increase it with something like CPI annually. But we should keep in mind, you know, when we get these consultant reports and we compare the Canadian competition, one thing that always seems to be lost in the story is that all the developers and producers and exporters, they're going to pay corporate taxes directly for provincial services. And also every single worker in the construction management operations pays an income tax that goes directly to provincial services. So the point always seems to get lost in the project comparisons, and it should be figured in when they quantify and calculate the total government take and compare these mega projects. Thank you all so much for taking public input, and thank you for your service to Alaska.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Maxwell. We've got Representative Staff's question.
Thank you, Chair Foster, through the chair to Mr. Howard Maxwell. Howard, it's good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in, and I appreciate your long service at school and everything else. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. And next, I'm going to go over to the Fairbanks LIO here. And first up, we've got Lois Barger. And if you can put yourself on the record, your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your two-minute testimony. Lois Barger, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Yeah, hi, thank you so much. My name is Lois Barger. I'm here representing myself today. And I, too, share the intense energy costs as a Fairbanks resident and homeowner. The cost this past winter was incredible, and I'm fortunate that my husband and I are lucky enough to be able to get a lot of our own firewood, and that certainly displaces a lot of the diesel cost. But I just want to bring to the conversation that I don't think that we can let our desperation for cheaper energy to cloud our judgment right now and to put all of our eggs in this LNG basket. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend some of the hearings to listen to some of the testimony from Glen Farn and from the Department of Revenue. And one thing became really clear to me, that the cost of gas to the consumer is highly sensitive to the overall cost of the project. And I think oftentimes in this conversation, it feels like people are assuming that if this gets built, that there will be cheaper energy. And I just want to challenge that assumption, that estimate that the Glen Farne is giving is over 10 years old. And I think we all know that nothing costs the same as it did 10 years ago. Predominantly, I mean, all of these construction materials, labor. I mean, I'm no construction expert, but I know from a household level who does DIY projects that this is not going to cost $64 billion. I just also wanted to say I do not support this bill, but if you must move forward, I believe there needs to be protections for consumers. And if these are not something that the developer is willing to entertain, then that feels like calling their bluff. Because they say that they're here for Alaskans, so put in some protections for consumers to ensure that you are protecting your constituents. Finally, a question that I've always had is, how will we even be able to use this gas in Fairbanks? We have long-term contracts with IGU. It's not like in 2 years, all of a sudden, we're going to have a power plant. We're not going to be able to incredibly, you know, to quick build out our access to houses. So I just question our ability for the demand in Fairbanks anyways. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much. Representative Steph, has a question or comments?
Yeah, I think Co-Chair Foster, to the Chair, to Ms. Berger, thank you for your testimony. I'm curious, you said that you didn't support the bill, but I didn't hear why. If maybe a moment just to tell us why. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, thank you so much for the question. I don't support this bill because I don't believe the assumptions that the developers are basing their arguments off of, that this will provide cheap energy, particularly to Fairbanks. I don't believe it will bring affordable energy.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Barger. Next, we have Seth Church at the Fairbanks LAO.
Thank you, commanding members, for hearing my testimony. I support the bill, and I guess I would ask those that come up against it, what is our alternative? We just had a huge increase, or perhaps the largest increase in our history with GVA the other day. People are already struggling. Businesses are struggling. People are having, I'm having to help tenants make heat bills with IGU. I've got places where the electricity bill was more than the rent that was paid for some of our needy people here in Fairbanks, some of our elders. If this isn't the solution, then what is going to be a solution in the next several years? The people are hurting right now. Businesses, people, every walk of life from, and so zero of nothing. I mean, if you don't get your tax credit, you're going to get zero. Whereas this, we can actually get revenue and royalty for the PFD. But it's not just about those parts of the state. The best interest for the state is also about the people. If the people can't afford to live in Alaska, in interior Alaska, how are they going to be able to keep their families fed and keep them warm through the winter if the costs keep exceeding the wages? We need jobs. We need higher wages. We need lower energy bills. This has the potential of doing it. Maybe it's not as good as we hope, but it's a lot better than nothing. And right now we're looking at a lot of nothing if we don't do this. So I hope and I encourage the legislature to act. This is critical. It's not something to just postpone. You have an opportunity now. You may not have that opportunity tomorrow. Anchorage had the South Central raised by 30%. I mean, we lost 30% of our cheap energy from South Central. That's part of the reason the rates for GVA went up here. We also had projected $2.50 per gallon, and then it went to $5.10. It's not like GVA isn't trying to keep the cost down. They're fighting huge forces. Without something like this gas line, we're in a desperate position up here. And yes, wouldn't it be nice to have to sit in our other things? Great. But those aren't happening now. This is a project that's ready and will happen if the legislature will help the people. So please, please, Fairbanks is crying out for this. I think Alaska is crying out for this. We need energy relief and sustainable energy. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Church. We've got Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Church. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your steadfast advocacy for Fairbanks and the university. We really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
And next up, I also have Representative Stout.
Then Coach Foster to the chair, to Mr. Church. Always great to hear from a constituent calling. Appreciate your advocacy on this issue. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Church. And next up, we have Rick Soli, also there at the Fairbanks LIO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rick Soli. I'm speaking here today on behalf of myself, but I would also indicate my involvement with my company, Tower Hill Mines, the Live and Good Gold Project. I work to enhance their interests, which would include a use of 50 megawatts of power where this mine project built. I'm also the chair of the Chamber of Commerce's Energy Committee and helped to craft their advocacy positions related to natural gas. Further, I'm a director on the board for Golden Valley Electric Association. I'm not speaking in direct representation to any of those groups, but honestly, the perspective of those groups informs me. But what informs me most of all, Mr. Chairman, is over 50 years, almost 60 years in Fairbanks. I was here when TAPS happened. I've been here through the ups and downs of the economy, and I've seen the energy costs backbreaking our town. And I am here to support this bill. I actually think we should look at lowering the tax rate on this to a volumetric tax that is closer to what the governor proposed. Moreover, I think that we should not look at government take as the primary objective. Oil and gas are different. The relative profitability of gas, natural gas versus oil, is different, and I don't think there's the inherent economic value from a government take standpoint. The primary value of this project is energy, and energy for our community, energy for our state. As a previous speaker mentioned, Golden Valley no longer receives electric-produced energy up the intertie. And our rates, as you just saw yesterday or a couple of days ago, our cost of power adjustment went up by 61% because of these energy sources that we're purchasing, enhanced by the Iraq war, exacerbated by the Iran war. And that's my time, Mr. Chairman. The final thing I would mention is the pipeline impacts are not that concern me. I actually would say bring some of those impacts to our town. I don't fear Fairbanks being negatively impacted. I think the on-balance benefit is to our town. So as the chamber said in its letter, keep the bill focused. Don't avoid the separation of the municipal carve-out. So this idea of carving out the North Slope and the Kenai boroughs, I think that's foolish. It would defeat the whole purpose of this legislation, which is to be a tax abatement and arguably bring taxability. So finally, let me just thank you for the work that the previous committee did on the Fairbanks spur line. I think that was an artful solution to essentially create a rolled-in or posted stamp rate. Thank you for doing that, and I encourage you to hold that in the bill. So lower taxes, keep the Fairbanks spur, don't do a municipal carve-out, remove that from the current legislation, and don't try to do other things that might not be relative to natural gas enhancement. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer a question.
Okay, Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Soli, for coming here and speaking. We really appreciate it. Appreciate all the work you do with the Chamber and Golden Valley there. Can you just real quick, you mentioned the rate increase. What's a Fairbanks resident, homeowner going to be paying for a kilowatt hour come June 1st?
Offhand, I don't remember what that translates to, but it's about a $45 increase to the average residential ratepayer's bill. So it's significant. We were currently at about 29 cents per kilowatt hour. So I should have done my math first, but about a $45 increase on the bill. Obviously, the industrial customers, the mines, Department of Defense, military installations will see much higher because they use greater amounts that are charged through the cost of power adjustments. So their COPA rates are dramatically going up.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you for calling in and supporting this line and all your advocacy for Fairbanks.
And Ripson.
Thank you all for being here on a Saturday.
We've got Ripson and staff.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair. Mr. Soli, thank you, Rick, for your advocacy on this issue. It's been a long way since today I met you on a street corner in Anchorage. Thanks.
Okay, Representative Jimmy.
Glad and Co-Chair Foster. Thank you, Mr. Soli, for calling in. If you want to thank a specific legislator, you might want to thank Representative Dibert.
Okay. And
thank you, Madam Chair. The co-chair of the Resources Committee did, I think, fine work, especially with our mayor of the borough, I think, working together. And I've thanked him publicly and would do so again. So keep that good work they did, Madam Chair. Thank you for calling it out.
Thank you for calling in, Mr. Soli. So it looks like that's everyone so far at the Fairbanks LIO. Just for folks who are waiting and just wondering how long it might be, we've got three people in the room here that we're going to go to, and then 17 people online. And so the next three people in the room, just so folks know, we've got Patty Parker, Carolyn Storm, and Irene Quednew. And so with that, Patty Parker, if you could come up and put yourself on the record. And thanks for joining us on this Saturday afternoon.
Hello, thank you for being here. Everybody's been so articulate. I'm gonna have to read so that I don't go off into the weeds. So my name is Patty Parker. I'm a fourth generation Alaskan. I'm here on behalf of myself and my family. We don't work or profit from the oil and gas industry directly. I'm here simply as an Alaskan who cares deeply about our state's long-term future. Like many families, we're watching cooking let gas decline and asking what's next. Reliable, affordable energy isn't an option for Alaska. It's foundational to whether people can live and work here and whether our economy remains viable. Alaska LNG offers a path forward, using our own resources to provide long-term energy stability while creating new revenue and economic opportunity for future generations. I wanted to address the tax discussion because that's central to your role here. Alaska's current tax structure is out of step with other LNG jurisdictions. It's higher and it applies earlier, making projects like this difficult to finance and build. This reform is not a subsidy. There's no state spending or financial assistance. It's a structural adjustment to make Alaska competitive so the project can move forward. And from a finance perspective, that distinction matters. If the project doesn't move forward, the state receives nothing. No property taxes, no royalties, and no economic activity. If it does, the result is new durable revenue streams supporting the general fund, the permanent fund, and essential public services, along with jobs and broader economic growth across the state. The alternative is importing LNG, which means higher, more volatile costs and sending dollars out of Alaska with no offsetting revenue or long-term benefit to the state. This small moment feels especially personal for me. My father, Charles Parker, served as one of Alaska's first pipeline commissioners under Governor Egan. I grew up hearing about how critical energy independence is to the Alaska future. Like TAPS, this is about infrastructure. It's about long-term fiscal stability for our state. I've chosen to stay in Alaska, but the choice comes with the reality of high energy costs and understanding that it's even more challenging for our rural communities. So from a financial and practical standpoint, I would ask, how do we create a sustainable, affordable energy future that also strengthens Alaska's revenue base? This project is a clear opportunity to do both. I respectfully ask for your support in meaningful tax reform to avoid changes that could undermine this project's financial viability. Thank you for your time and for your service to Alaska.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Parker. And I don't see any questions. So with that, appreciate your being coming in. Next up, we have Carolyn Storm. If you could put yourself on the record, a familiar face. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Finance Committee, House Finance Committee. Thank you so much for taking public testimony, as always. My name is Caroline Storm. I'm here representing myself today, and I just want to read into the record from my well-worn Alaska Constitution, Article 8.2, the legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people. I want to not really testify as much as ask a couple of questions. Why is this legislation being rushed through? It was dropped at the 11th hour, 59th minute of somebody's administration. I don't think that the legislature has had enough time to really consider all the impacts of this project. And I don't think there's enough transparency from Glen Farm at this point in time. I have 25 years in construction, and an open book contract was always an option for negotiating the cost of construction. So I think that there are options for this project, and it's not just we have to pass this legislation today because there's a crisis. There's been an energy crisis in the state for a long time, and the cost of living in the state has been very, very high for a long time. And some people were saying, what are the options? Well, there are all alternatives. It's called wind. It's called hydro. Or repeal SB 21 from 2012 and subsidize the energy costs for the whole state, not just Fairbanks. I'm not sure why Fairbanks has taken up so much space in this conversation. Western Alaska probably pays a heck of a lot more. I don't actually know this, but their energy costs are also incredibly high. So what is this project doing for the benefit of all Alaskans, not just people on the rail belt? I very rarely agree with Senator Stedman. However, he is very skeptical of this project, and he believes that there's far too much risk without enough benefit to the people of Alaska, and I will say that I agree with that. So instead of just, to use a terrible metaphor, kicking the tires, please disassemble the vehicle. Take a look at every single part and assess whether it's doing enough for all Alaskans, for all municipalities, and for everybody, including the environment in Alaska. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Representative Staff.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, to Chair Ms. Storm. Thank you for your testimony. I have a couple answers to a couple of your questions. First one would be, as a Fairbanks guy, I'm going to defend my town. I mean, Fairbanks, we have effectively seen what's called a 37-cent residential kilowatt power increase as of last week. That's technically higher than almost every community that receives PCE in residential in Western Alaska. So if you go through the PCE rates, they for residential usage, 37 cents a kilowatt is substantially higher than I think 97% of communities that receive PCE, and Fairbanks is the second largest town. The second question was, what does this do to benefit rural Alaska? 20% of the royalties on the sale of gas go to what's called the Affordable Energy Fund, which is to be used for affordable energy projects in rural Alaska, as well as when the cost of kilowatt power goes down on the rail belt, you see a higher proportion of that in PCE rates. So again, the lower people on the rail belt pay in electricity, the better the PCE fund performs for people who aren't on the rail belt. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Storm, for your testimony. next up, we have Irene Quidney, I believe, and then we also have after that Lori Pregnani, and then we'll go to the phone. So with that, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hi, my name is Irene Quitnell. I live in Anchorage. I represent myself. I've been in Alaska for 30 years, over 30 years. I've come here today to testify in favor of the gas line. I urge you in the strongest possible terms to pass legislation, this legislation to get the gas line built. The gas line is not just about affordable energy. It's also about jobs so that people can earn money and can stay in the state. Jobs that are directly related to building the gas line and indirectly with support businesses. But I'm not going to go into the details about this bill, but I want to speak more about the overall picture. The legislature in the last couple of weeks has become, I'm sorry to say, a joke. You gave us a state vegetable, but you did not give us a gas line, which Alaska needs to survive economically. Too many of you have forgotten what your job is as a legislator. You act like spoiled children, using legislative sessions for power plays, pity fights, and forcing your agenda on everyone no matter what. Let me remind you of a couple things. You work for us, the people, not the other way around. You do not just represent the people who voted you into the position, but all the people of your district. And it is not about a particular party either. Your job is to do what is best for all of Alaska. And Alaska needs the gas line to survive economically. Stop legislating Alaska to death and instead pass legislation that will make Alaska prosper. Over 80% of Alaskans from both sides of the aisle, people you are representing, are for building the gas line. Act like it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony, Representative Ballard.
Irene, you want to come back? Thank you, Co-Chair. It's great to have you here, and I have to tell you, I miss your testimonies, and it's really good to be back here in the legislature, listening to the public while we're on the road system.
Yes.
So I appreciate it, and I thank everybody for showing up, especially you. So thank you.
Great. And again, thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have in the room Lori Pagnani. If you can put yourself on the record, your name, your affiliation.
Hello, I'm Lori Pagnani, and thank you for allowing me to share my comments, and certainly in support of the gas lines. I'm a married mother of two young adults, and I also owned a communications firm here in Anchorage for the past 30 years. Half of our clients have come from the oil and gas and the resource industry. And I want to share that you've heard a lot of concerns about costs and scarcity going on around the state. And I want to add another concern from the contractor's perspective. Over the years, I've seen a lot of resource policy that, just like what you're doing here, flows through the legislative process. And when this happens on your end, something happens in the contractor community. And companies like our firm are impacted. Work stops flowing from the producers down to the contractors. And while the producers and the oil and gas companies are negotiating with you all, they dramatically control their costs, and as they prepare for the worst case scenarios. That means that work stops flowing to the contractor world, and it's been a slowdown, and it's palatable in our world. There's a general sense that we're ready to work, but we need a gas line to get the economy going again. I represent 40 full-time jobs, 30 of which are in Alaska, and the rest are around the nation, and they are ready to work, but we need to get the gas line built. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. I don't see any questions, so appreciate you coming in this afternoon. Looks like that is everyone so far, both at the Fairbanks LIO as well as here in the room. And just so folks know who are waiting online, how many people are online, we've got 20 people online so far, and the next three are Carrie Harris, Doug Woodby, and Anthony Kevin. So with that, Carrie Harris, looks like you're calling in from Anchor Point. If you can state your name and your affiliation and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Hi, I'm Carrie Harris. I'm from Anchor Point. Glenn Farn is asking for billions in production tax reductions, state tax credits, and property tax incentives. It is completely reasonable to tie those incentives to three simple protections for Alaskans. We need Alaska First language, a legal guarantee that our in-state residents, residential and utility needs come before foreign buyers. We need we need a reserve volume of gas for Alaskans enough to cover 50 years of demand and to ensure data centers don't take it all. And third, we need real in-state price reductions, not vague promises like more supply will lower prices and not token gestures like removing a tariff. I'm talking about contractual enforceable prices that reflect the fact that we're the ones providing the tax relief. Glenn Farn has already guaranteed volume pricing and long-term supply to overseas buyers. They can and should do the same for us. There is no harm in tying those tax incentives to these protections. If anything, the harm comes from not doing it. The legislator not demanding them is a red flag. You're not that dumb. Glenn Farn is a business. It will put business above Alaskans every single day. This bill, you're expecting us to trust that Glenn Farm to give us good pricing. But they're the people who didn't want to build the line to Fairbanks. Do you really think they will put Alaska first? I want the gas line. I think everybody wants the gas line, but the bill needs to include protections for Alaskans, and they need to be legally binding. And this really should be an emphatic yes from both the legislature and Glenn Farn, because we're giving them almost $8 billion in tax reductions, and that is before the data center conversation even comes into play. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, I don't see any questions, so thank you very much for your testimony. And next up we have Doug Woodby calling in from Juneau.
Yeah, Chair Foster and committee members, thanks for this opportunity to comment. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes, we are.
Great. My name is Doug Woodby, and I'm in Juneau speaking for myself. Last year, it was all razzle-dazzle by the project proponents, to quote Senator Stedman. Now the pipeline promoters have fired up the blame throwers, pointing at the legislature as the problem. What has changed? This project didn't pencil out before Glenn Farn showed up, and it still doesn't pencil out. Why not? The near certainty of huge cost overruns way beyond the $46 billion starting point makes this marginal project a fantasy. After all, the Alaska oil pipeline ended up costing nearly 10 times the original price tag. I sent you all a link to a recent publication titled The LNG Casino. It's by Canadian investors that identified a class of LNG developers who assume no risk and aren't in it to build the project, but to lure investors and get bought out before the risk of the construction phase. Is Glenn Farn one of these? It was a little-known company that has no track record of completing a pipeline, and certainly not one billed as the largest such project in the world. In any case, Glenn Farn must realize the project is not economically viable and that the legislature isn't going to roll over. So are they looking for the exit and someone else to blame? My recommendation is to vote no on the bill, but it's an election year. If you just call this fantasy what it is and gavel out, you may be up to your necks in blame. Doing due diligence and crafting a bill that protects Alaskans may be your best choice. You can honestly say you did your best. However, the governor, on Glenn Farn's behalf, may veto it, and perhaps that's best. Wouldn't that be better than caving and getting this project going, getting some pipe laid, and then having the developers come back, hat in hand, asking for billions in funding when costs skyrocket? At that point, your choice would be to cripple the permanent fund, because that's where the catch is, or to just say no. Do you really want to go there? I hope not. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Woodby. And next up, we have Anthony Cabin, and then Robert Sheldon and Tim Navarre. So Anthony Cabin calling in from Fairbanks, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hi, my name is Anthony Cavan. I live in Fairbanks. I am calling in support of the natural gas line going through. I look at our economy here in the state. I look at it over the last several decades, the highs and lows and where we're going. I look at it every time we come up for a session to try to figure out how we're going to fund our government and how we're going to pay a statutory full dividend and fill all our potholes and do this and do that. Everyone wants everything. And I just don't think the money is there anymore. And I think this gas line has the chance to bring our economy back, to put us back in good standings. I am a retired teacher. I taught 25 years here in the state, and my primary thing was welding. And I was teaching kids to weld. And I watch our kids leave the state. I watch them leave. Our economy is not strong. Our state is not strong. And we need to provide things to keep our state strong. And I think this gas line can do that. And I think we've got to look at it from the standpoint of not just what can we get in the short term, but what is the long-term gain? And that long-term gain is health of economy. It is its jobs. It is lower energy costs. All those things will keep people here. They'll keep our kids here. And if we get so fixated on what we can get right now in the short term, we're going to get nothing. That's right. We're going to get nothing. And our economy will continue to suffer, and we'll continue to see a decline of our youth leaving the state. And we don't want that. We want our economy healthy. So I would encourage the legislature to please pass this bill, work to look at the long-term gain and not the short-term gain, and at least walk away with something versus nothing, and walk away with jobs for our kids, walk away with the economic boost, walk away with better energy costs for everybody in the state, not just Fairbanks. Of course, I want the spur line. I want lower energy costs, but it will benefit the whole state with energy costs. Like Representative Staff said, it benefits the state, and we need this. So that's my testimony, and thank you for hearing me out.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Cavan. We've got a question or comment from Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Anthony, for calling in and taking the time to express your views on this. We really appreciate it. And you and I both know the effects and the cost of energy in Fairbanks, and we're going to do our best to make that better. So thanks for calling in and taking that time.
Okay, also got Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, the Chair, Anthony, and thank you for your advocacy on the issue, and always great to hear from you.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. And next up, we have Robert Sheldon calling in from Talkeetna.
Well, hello, chairs and committee members. I am Robert Sheldon, a lifelong Alaskan from Talkeetna. I've built multiple companies and chosen to serve the current plus the latest five gubernatorial administrations on various boards and commissions like Alaska Energy Authority and ADA. My 2 minutes will touch on just three energy projects I volunteered my time for on behalf of the state over these past decades of my service. One, with Bradley Lake Hydro and expansion, everyone was throwing a fit at its 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour, which was 30% higher than the 6.5 cents paid back then. People said it didn't make economic sense. Obviously, it did with the passage of time. Anchorage now pays well into the 20 cents, Interior well into the 30 cents, and Copper Valley is in the 50 cents, which is where we're all headed. And I haven't even talked about actual heating costs via diesel. Number two, at ADA, we effectively gave Healy Clean Coal 2 to Golden Valley Electric. Some here would say that that was a loss to ADA, but was it really? It is producing power at 9 cents per kilowatt hour and up 70% of the time. It's also one of the cheapest sources on the Intertie and keeps the Interior from even higher prices. Three, the Intertie itself. I led the renegotiation with the six utilities to change how we bus power up and down the Intertie, and in return for them cutting the wheeling charge, we gave GVEA Healy Clean Coal too. Now, I'm sad to say that it took 15 years for that wheeling charge to drop, which it did last fall, but it did. And that is also keeping prior power prices down when the power needs to be moved from one region to another. But that was the last trick that we had to keep prices low. We only have about 20 megawatts of freeboard on the 750-megawatt intertie. If any of the major generation units drop across these six utilities, there will be severe consequences. And no, wind and solar won't save us. And any new hydro, well, that's 7 to 10 years out. Already our South Central and Interior military installations had to cut their use this past winter so that folks did not go cold or dark. Imagine we are so starved for power that the military, which protects us from the clear and present dangers of Russia and China, had to curtail and actually in some uses shut down. We need this gas line built now or literally the lights will eventually go out. Energy projects do not become cheaper. And energy projects built now will have a leg up in as little as 10 years. We saw that with my examples. Since when do ideological platitudes overcome the needs for the great majority of Alaskans, Alaskans that are behind this? And I've got one last thing to say, so I really appreciate your patience. But mark my words, the longer we dither over your ideological lines, the higher the likelihood that we'll all be remembered for doing nothing, which is a decision. We need to allow lower taxes at the beginning and make these numbers work. We all know, and history shows, that you're going to vote to increase those taxes anyways later. So please take the steps now to get this line built and pass this bill one way or another. This will be your and our legacy as a state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sheldon. I don't see any questions. And so with that, next we'll go to the next three. We have up our Tim Navarre, Shelby Swanson, and Ken Huckabee. So Tim Navarre, looks like you're calling in from Kenai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Tim Navarre. I live on the Kenai Peninsula. I'm also a member and chair of the Alaska Gas Development Corp. Citizens Advisory Council and have been since the beginning. I want to just go from the reason we're here today is because Alaskans had a dream and they've told legislators through all the years and they've kept the dream alive. And the legislature has done smart things as they've gone along. Originally, they had Dan Fowsky take the lead with Alaska Housing. To see where the project could go and what the viability would be. And at that point, we were talking about the ASAP line that's bringing gas for Alaskans. We're at the final stage where you have Frank Richards, because the legislature created AGDC and created the entity to do the work and to keep the dream alive and to do the due diligence that's necessary. And each year they were told to come back to the legislature and brief them and Alaskans and brief them. And they've done that. Even last year's legislative session, when you weren't sure about the real costs of the project, you said we want an independent analysis done. That was done and it proved that it's within the numbers that they were talking about from an independent, reliable firm. So legislatures long before you, the neat thing is you are at the final end of the dream. And to kill the dream would be wrong because Alaskans have put $1 billion or more into this project and legislatures have funded it because Alaskans said yes. And now we're at a point where other countries are willing to buy gas from us. And we're actually maybe considering saying kill it and we'll buy gas from other countries even though we have our gas. None of common sense speaks louder than a lot of things. And I hope the legislature finds the fixes if there needs to be fixes. And let's move this project forward and let's keep everybody in Alaska, give them real solutions to the real problems that are facing us and our future. And as been stated, there will be gold mines that need the energy. There'll be other entities that need the energy. And Alaskans will benefit because they will have the gas. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. And thank you, Mr. Navarre. And next up, we have Shelby Swanson calling in from Fairbanks. If you can put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. My name is Shelby Swanson. I'm representing myself, and I've lived in Alaska my entire life. To give a little bit of background, I come from a family of first responders, blue-collar workers, people who built the railroad. I am really concerned about the amount of misinformation that's floating around Alaska right now. Everybody's kind of saying different stuff, and it really seems like this project is being rushed. I do wish that we had longer for public comment rather than just a couple hours. But I am here to state that I oppose this because it really seems like it's not going to benefit anybody other than the companies that are trying to push this through. If we don't tax them, how are we going to benefit? Because we got rid of our tax. We don't tax the oil companies as of 2024, and we don't get to benefit from what they're extracting from the state. They're profiting, and our community is suffering for it. So I just think that the $60 billion price tag is too expensive. It's going to be too many years out for this to actually benefit anybody in the short term. This winter in Fairbanks was one of the hardest winters I've ever experienced in my life. I was really, really scared that we were going to end up without heating fuel. Luckily, we were able to get some, but our heater did end up breaking, and we were without fuel for 2 weeks before we got it fixed. It was 45 degrees in the house. We nearly froze. I was really worried. Our cars weren't working. We were stuck in our driveway. We couldn't get food. We had to call for help. Luckily, we have help. A lot of people don't have help. A lot of people right now can't afford to get food. People are crying in the grocery stores. I had to pay for a lady's grocery bill the other day because she could not afford $50 for food for dinner that night. So I'm really concerned about my community. This is not going to help us get through this next winter, and that is my highest priority and my highest concern. Unfortunately, I don't have a solution. I don't know what to do. I'm really at a loss. I would like to get solar panels for my own home, but I haven't looked into it. I don't know about it. I would like some short-term solutions to happen within the next couple of months before it starts getting cold out again. This is going to be really extreme. People are going to have to leave Fairbanks really, really quickly without a backup plan if we don't do something within the next 3 or 4 months. So right now, I'm opposing this right now because I don't think that we're going to benefit from it unless we end up rushing it and then taxing them. But even then, everybody's relying on heating fuel up here. This isn't going to benefit everybody in the rural areas. So I'm really worried about what your solutions could be for those people. I would like to have wood stoves again. We got rid of those. I know it was polluting and we're a bowl and it all kind of settles and it really harms the environment and the air is gross. But I mean, solar, wind, and wood would be the shortest term solutions, I think. And it would be really nice if we could get everybody working on those ASAP, just throw people in there, get people quick jobs. They don't have to be long-term jobs. It just could be a quick job installing these around Fairbanks. But I don't really have any other ideas other than that. And I'm just really concerned for my community. I'm really worried. I think a lot of people are going to have to leave. And I really don't know what to do. And I don't think that this is going to help. And I don't think rushing it without taxing them is going to help anybody in Alaska. Sorry that I went over time. I'll let the next person speak. Thank you for hearing me, and I hope that we come to a solution.
Representative Stout.
And Co-Chair Foster, through the chair, to Ms. Swanson. Ms. Swanson, thank you for your time and testifying in front of the community today. Just so you know, the current version of the bill does include a small diameter spur line to Fairbanks, and the objective would be to replace the diesel fuel with cleaner and cheaper natural gas. Thanks for your testimony.
Okay. Representative Jimmy.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Thank you, Mrs. Swanson, for calling in from Fairbanks. I come from a rural village from Tuxet Bay, but I do agree with you about taxing the oil companies. I don't know if you know that we did attempt to pass a bill to tax the oil companies, but unfortunately it failed.
Okay, and seeing no further questions or comments, Ms. Swanson, appreciate you calling in. Thank you. The next three people that we have up are Ken Huckaba, Miguel Ramirez, and Mike Coons. And so, Mr. Ken Huckaba, calling from Wasilla, if you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you, committee. I'm gleefully unaffiliated. I'd like to speak as a person of decades long of energy production. And I've operated all manner of power plants, including nuclear, and lived under gas contracts and understand the ramifications of them. And the ramification here is you've got one chance to fix this. It's on the beginning. And, you know, as the Alaska Constitution says, resource development's a requirement, but it also, the second part of it says for the maximum benefit of the citizens. And I'd like to address that. Taxes and royalties seem to be unlimitedly able to vaporize like spit on a skillet around here. So I don't think getting all this money and having to filter it back out to the communities is the right way. I think we've seen other energy markets in the world respond to this deal already. And in as a good hazard in Eastern Australia, they've got now, they're behind Asians on their own gas at priority and cost. So it's tripled down there and they have shortages. Western Australia responded by requiring a 15, and if you're in Albanese, 20%. Just take a gas on that. Now, what you could do with that is you could use the gas as required for the benefit of Alaskans and sell the remainder for the revenues. And because I don't see the taxes as doing that kind of thing. And everybody talks about cheap gas. And right now, we just heard one of the representatives say, oh, we got spur line. That spur line might be a leash and a very expensive collar and indentured servitude to whatever prices might hit you without reserve contracts. If you don't have reserve contracts, the pipe means nothing. All it means is you're on the pipe. And by the way, the figures they kicked out in committee hearing, that is before OnStar gets hold of it. And then you're going to have to add another 15 or 20% on top of that. So there's no such thing as cheap fuel as seen in current production right now, unless we can do something about guaranteeing it. And taxes and revenues don't do that. We need reserve contracts. And we have a great example in state of what happened. The Cook Inlet. We developed that. We spent a lot of money on that. We gave a lot of tax breaks on that. And much of that volume went to Asia. And I'd like to say, people that say are calling Japanese our allies, they take shipments from port and turn it around for profit. If we're supposed to be in for the profit of Asian companies, I guess we would be their best friend. But that's not our responsibility according to the Alaska Constitution. That doesn't fit into our wheelhouse that we're supposed to provide profit margins for JERA, which JERA, if people don't know, is one of the biggest gas buyers, the utility over in Japan. And right now, I would like to add one more thing. We were told by many legislators we would not suffer the cost of all this carbon control nonsense. If they're going to go rate case on the people on the pipeline, I would like an amendment to this legislation that excludes all carbon costs, all for all carbon processing and everything else. That's not what we would need to do and what we should be charged for. We were told we wouldn't have fees and taxes for that. If you're going to buy gas with that rolled in, that's exactly what we're doing. So I'd like to ask that as a question as well. I appreciate it. If anybody has any questions, we've researched a lot of this thing and the other markets and what's happened to them. We'd love to supply information if you need it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Huckaba. I don't see any questions, and so appreciate you calling in. Next up, we've got Miguel Ramirez calling in from Fairbanks.
Hello. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good afternoon. Yes, my name is Miguel Ramirez. I'm here representing myself. I'm not representing my employer, which is the Department of War. I support the gas line. I support the need for a spur line into Fairbanks. I've lived in the interior, and I retired here since 2014. I love our community. I would hate to see our graduates of UAF leave. for cheaper living costs when we need our children, our graduates to stay here, living here, our grandchildren to continue the growth of the interior. It's for the benefit of the state. Other people are suffering more than others, but we need a greater benefit of the state. Whatever happened to for the people, by the people? Maybe the whole thing about all this tax revenue, maybe the government doesn't take a dime. I mean, our legislature have already taxed us enough by taking our PFB since 2015 or 16, so I think every Alaskan has paid their farewell share into our state government by us being taxed by taking our PFB. So we've invested enough in our government that this should be covered. That is my humble opinion. I thank you all for doing what you're doing. I don't know which senator was saying this, correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody said something that this will bring alcoholics and brothels and waste and fraud and abuse. Well, I mean, all that's still going on today's day since the pipeline day, so it hasn't stopped, sadly. So this is just going to produce jobs, going to produce welders, electricians. It's going to give cheaper energy costs, and we just need to get this going. And if Glen Farm walks for this, no other business will invest in our state ever again. And I'm quite frankly surprised Glen Farm hasn't said thank you very much. We're leaving. Good luck finding an investor. So pray you all do the good thing. You all hardworking folks away from your family in this extended session. So thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony.
And thank you, Mr. Ramirez. We've got two comments. Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Ramirez. It's good to hear from you, and I really do appreciate all the hard work that you do there in Fairbanks, looking out for our borough, and just appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to call in.
And we've also got Representative Sapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster. The Chair and Mr. Miguel Ramirez, always good to hear from you. Appreciate your time testifying before the committee.
Thanks for calling in. Next up, we have the next three are Mike Coons, Brian Makita, and Amanda Thompson. Mike Coons calling from Wasilla. If you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, John, you need earphones. Is this working?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, so my name is Mike Coons from Wasilla, and I'm speaking for myself. Like the vast majority of Alaskans, I want a natural gas pipeline. We want it built with reasonable taxes in a way that ensures we receive the benefit for our resources. I realize this includes taxation on the natural gas that flows down the pipeline. However, as a co-owner of this resource, demanding 15 cents per 1,000 cubic feet versus the governor's 6 cents per 1,000 cubic feet is not reasonable. I strongly believe that this 15 cent tax may be designed as a deal maker. While the Senate Finance version, SB 2001, uses the more reasonable 6 cents per 1,000 cubic feet. Last week's attempt to impose a huge borough tax showed the industry that some members of this body are greedy and unwilling to work within a reasonable tax structure. On page 3, I read about Article 12, the Constitutional Education Fund, which would create a dedicated fund for education. Yet, SJR 29 was never voted on in the House. This is a poison pill on top of already high taxes and needs to be removed. I've spoken with Congressman Begich and Senator Sullivan, as well as listening to the governor and the Secretary of Interior. The president's administration is more than ready to take over construction of this pipeline if this legislature refuses to be reasonable. This then becomes a national security issue. The outcome could mean no taxation of the federal asset, resulting in either no funds for Alaska or a return to a 50-50 or even 30-70 royalty split. Based on the delays on Senate Resources and House Resources Committee, it is apparent that several members have no desire to see this pipeline built. I'm glad those members are no longer in this committee, that this issue is now before the Finance Committee. However, I still question whether some members are serious about passing this legislation or simply trying to kill it. I call on the committee to kill this bill and bring up SB 2001 clean, and pass it clean. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Coons. I don't see any questions, and so we'll next move on to Brian Makita calling in from Palmer.
Yeah, this is Brian Makita from Palmer, and I'm just representing myself. I just wanted to bring up the fact that this project is bigger than a specific borough. It's bigger than Alaska. It's really an opportunity for Alaska to be an essential part of helping mitigate and end this trade war. We can supply natural gas to our allies and help bring down costs, not just for Alaskans, not just on energy, but for everybody across the nation with the natural gas and the resources that Alaska has. You know, you look at the numbers and over 80% of Alaskans support this, and you can tell by the callers that called in today. Those that don't support the gas line, I would say just by listening to them, a lot of them just don't have the proper information or an understanding of the companies that would play a role in this. The fact that so many people in Alaska agree with this and it's come to this point should be alarming. The project is so much bigger. I think a lot of people are just looking at it as just a gas line, but it's bigger than oil and gas. It's an opportunity across Alaska for new industries, manufacturing, bringing plants back online that have been mothballed because of a lack of energy. The mining industry, it'll just bring so much revenue to Alaska across the state. You know, when I look at it, legislators, they're hired by the Alaskan people to support us and represent us. And the vast majority of Alaskans support this. Everybody that you talk to, for the most part, that understands what's going on supports it. And it's disappointing to see that so many legislators, for their own personal interests or for other reasons, aren't standing behind the Alaskan voters. That's pretty much all that I had. I hope that that our legislation, our finance committee, will get behind your average Alaskan. We need cheap energy. We need more industry, and we need this to move forward and continue being a part of the global market. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Makita. And the next three I have up are Amanda Thompson, Ruben McNeil, and Cameron Ebersold. And so going to Amanda Thompson, calling in from Anchorage.
Greetings, committee members. My name is Amanda Thompson. I'm from Anchorage. I'm a third-generation resident, a teacher, and single parent. I urge you to support this bill with no amendments that would compromise it. And thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, for being a leader for our Anchorage family. It's really what I want to talk to you today is about a family perspective. Access to natural gas and gas development careers is crucial for my family and my students. I'm a child of a pipeline. My father made enough money on surveying work to buy a little house for us and open up his own business. He framed artwork for the amazing creative economy that had blossomed with the good paying oil job. There is a definite connection between resource development and the arts flourishing. All those artists who are probably on your the walls of the Capitol buildings of your offices, Birdsall, Gauze, all those things, those were a product of that creative economy. So let's fast forward to today. What does this gas bill mean for families like mine? The creative economy and community is not a fraction of what it was. I teach full-time now since art opportunities are so rare. Does access to gas impact families like mine? Well, I found out this winter the hard way. Our gas furnace in our tiny little condo went out last spring. I didn't have the money to replace the furnace, so I relied on just electric heat. I saw the windmills on Fire Island. I heard the praise of electric energy. I figured it would be affordable. It wouldn't be that much more than gas. It'd be cheaper than a furnace to replace it, for sure. I've seen to meet a harsh reality. My bill for my 900-square-foot condo got as high as $570 a month. So almost $3,000 later, over this winter, I realized that that was not sustainable. I needed to get a new furnace. I used almost a whole paycheck just to be able to do that because I knew that I cannot go another winter at the expense of electric heat.
we can't predict what gas prices will be in the future, right? But my understanding of the economics is that it will surely be higher. All those prices will be higher if our supply goes down. Building this line gives families like mine at least access to more gas supply to keep at bay any price increases that will happen from low supply. Families like mine no longer have financial margin despite working harder. Our PSPs have been slashed, and we don't have that as backup anymore. Please support this bill and let families like mine thrive.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Thompson. We do have a comment, Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Actually, Ms. Thompson, so you gave a very specific and said, pass the bill you have. And so I just want to affirm that you are referring to House Bill 381, version T, which is the version that came before us from the Resources Committee.
Representative, this is, it's been difficult for me to catch up on the latest bills. I'm for the version that doesn't add, those undue property taxes for each municipality. If I have the understanding right, this one that is more of a clean go for this project to go forward. That's my understanding.
Okay. Testifiers have spoken about the bills as if we are authorizing a gas line or not. And really, that's not in any version of the bill. It is the devil's in the details about where taxes are and at what level. And since Ms. Thompson specifically said pass the bill, that's why I followed up. But I certainly don't hold you to the details that legislators, that's where we are not struggling, but we always are trying to get clarification on exactly, different volumes, different levels of taxes, and at different points in the project are in different versions of the bill and trying to figure out what works to move do our due diligence.
Yes.
So thank you for clarifying.
And that's where we do trust. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Yes, and that's where we trust, just the work of the committees to do that in a way that's not being impeded to find out what is going to work. It is really confusing for our citizens when there are that too many cooks in the kitchen. That's our feedback.
Okay, and we also have Representative Ballard.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. I know we've been speaking privately for quite some time, and I appreciate your testimony, and I think Representative Hannon is correct, and I think some people think that we've made a decision on the bill, but I think I'm hearing from you, just for clarification, that you want something to move forward with the gas line, maybe a little bit of compromise in there, but you're in favor of doing something and not killing the gas line altogether. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct, Representative Ballard.
Okay, and I appreciate Representative Hannon bringing that to the attention, because the bills are confusing of what's going on. But she's shaking her head now, so thanks anyways, Ms. Thompson.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Thompson, for calling in. Just so folks know how long the wait might be, we do have 22 people on the phones and nobody else in either of the LIOs, so 22 people. The next three that we have up are Ruben McNeil, then Cameron Ebersold, and then Lester Nichols. So with that, Ruben McNeil calling from Fairbanks, if you can put yourself on the record.
Yes. Hi, guys. My name is Ruben McNeil. I am affiliated with People Who Want Cheaper Energy. Okay. I've testified on this twice, or this is my second time, or testified on behalf of building the gas line. I just want to say quickly that, we're not going to get cheaper energy to Alaska or interior Alaska where I live if Glen Farm cannot provide gas on the global market competitively. If we price Glen Farm to a point where the global market and consumers in the world can get it cheaper, they're not going to buy Alaskan gas. And the only mechanism by which we would get a reduction in our energy costs is by the demand for Alaskan gas internationally, globally. Alaska itself doesn't support the demand is not enough. So we have to be thoughtful about this, and I'm happy to be corrected by one of the committee members on this. But just from a business standpoint, that makes sense to me. The other thing is that I'm paying 29 cents a kilowatt hour, and I just got notice that my rate's going to go up an additional $45 per bill. I can afford that. Okay, there's a lot of people out there that can't. They are struggling, and I do believe that this Alaska gas line will bring lower energy costs. I don't see how it can't. Okay, but I support this bill as long as there's a spur line to Fairbanks. I think that is very important. I think that's very fair, and we're getting crushed here, and so please. Get to work. You're on per diem special session. Nobody likes you paying you per diem when this is kind of low-hanging fruit, no-brainer to a lot of Alaskans. And I want to leave with this. My representative is Ashley Carrick. Ashley Carrick is happy to shed tears in committee over legislation that serves a very small population of the state. Yet she is hesitant on something that will serve the entire state, that will help the entire state, jobs, economy, low energy. So I'm asking through the committee, my representative, to consider the benefits to your constituents here in Fairbanks. And that's all I needed, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McNeil. We have a question, I think, from Rep. Galvin, and then Rep. Tomaszewski, or a comment.
Thank you, Mr. McNeil, for testifying. You had mentioned that you were not understanding why and how we could possibly be here using up time in a special session, and I wanted to just give you a little bit of context and perspective. Firstly, I have not met a colleague of mine who is not supportive of this gas line. Secondly, part of what we're trying to tease out is how to make sure that we are competitive with the national and most importantly, the international market. And I just wanted to give you just a tiny bit of information that I'm struggling with so that maybe you can appreciate our context. So in order for us to build this way to get gas to the market and build a way to make sure the gas is of high quality, it takes money. And they are putting together money as an entity, Glenfarne, and they're working with AGDC. And part of the concern is that they, of course, need some help by the state. That's to be expected. But the question is, how much do we give in order to make sure we find that sweet spot of staying a low price to Alaskans and a low enough price that we move on to phase two so that we can sell it internationally? So the big fat question here is, well, how much does it cost to build that stuff, including a spur line to Fairbanks? And presently, we still don't have all of that equation. We're doing our best to work it out, and I just wanted you to be aware of that, that we really are working hard and every day, and I will stay at this table, as will our colleagues. We've all been here, and I wanted you to be aware of that, and I thank you for your continued engagement on this important topic.
Representative Tomaszewski.
Just a quick comment. Thank you, Ruben, for calling in, taking the time to express your thoughts on this gas line. I really do appreciate it. And coming from Fairbanks, we know the high price of energy we're paying, and we know this project is going to be great for every single resident in the state. And I just want to thank you for your community involvement over the years and look forward to seeing you when we get back to Fairbanks. Thanks.
Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Justin, through chair to Mr. McNeil. Ruben, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your advocacy for Fairbanks and the interior.
Okay. Representative Jimmy.
Thank you, Co-Chair Jefferson. Mr. Rubin, I just wanted to say it on record that not once Representative Carrick has not been supportive of this gas line bill.
All right, let's go on to the next caller. It should be Cameron Ebersole of Anchorage. Mr. Ebersole.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Hello, my name is Cameron Ebersole. I'm representing only myself. I'm a graduate of UAA, where I studied economics, and I'm opposed to this bill, which would provide a tax break to build a natural gas pipeline. The assumption underlying this bill is that natural gas and fossil fuels are still a smart investment for Alaska, and this was true in the past, but it is no longer true. Alternative and renewable energies have proven their economic viability, and fossil fuel extraction is not a growth industry anymore. It probably never will be again. This is a tough pill to swallow, but the long-term demand isn't there. And we can check this by asking just two questions about this LNG project. If this LNG project is expected to be economically viable, why do they need a tax break? And if it's not going to be that profitable, why is Alaska being asked to spend public resources to make it financially possible? If this project is viable only if Alaska provides a tax break, then it's not viable, period. Another caller asked what's the alternative, and that really is the underlying question. With the amount of time spent entertaining an LNG gas project, we could have spent time on alternative solutions. If we were prepared to give away tax breaks for an LNG project, then the question is there anything else we could invest that money into that would have a longer-term impact? People keep talking about, like, all of Alaska. Well, compare South Central to Juneau. Juneau has been utilizing hydropower for longer than oil flowed through the Trans-Alaska pipeline, for longer than Anchorage has existed at all. And they have the cheapest energy in the state. And I know you legislators realize this because you spend time in Juneau. That doesn't make hydro the right option, but it reveals the hollowness of the promises of an LNG pipeline. So make no mistake, our current energy system, the one that's so expensive, the one that everybody's complaining about, is a fossil fuel-based system. LNG doesn't solve the problem because it is the problem. Are we going to do the same thing that got us here? And if we commit to this path, you're basically just forcing your children to inherit all of the same problems. Future Alaskans are still going to be paying the bills for this. So I expect, you know, you fiscally savvy legislators to oppose the bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ebersole. We'll now go to Lester Nichols in Fairbanks.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Appreciate you taking time to hear testimony on this issue. My name is Les Nichols. I'm a business owner and long-term resident of Fairbanks in Alaska. The last time I was in Juneau, my brother and I stopped off at one of the floors and we walked out and pointed out a picture on the wall of an old man sitting in front of a cabin. And we looked at him and said, hey, we know that cabin. A cabin's still sitting here in Fairbanks. It was our grandmother's cabin, still stands at 176 Clay Street. So we care about saying, you know, I speak for myself, love this state, and I'm just baffled at sometimes what we miss. We know that our state has a history of growth and strength that's come from developing our natural resources. We know what the gold rush did for our state. We know what the Alaska pipeline did for our state. And here we are again on the precipice of growth and economic benefit. And I'm just kind of baffled. I wonder what I can tell you that you don't already know. And that's kind of what concerns me. I'm astounded and dismayed at the barriers being raised in the name of partisan politics. This issue had, 38 hearings? They were rescheduled at key moments to keep testimony out of this issue? For what? To make sure the damage is done to a political party? We, the people in the state, are being damaged by this. Our energy costs are outrageous, and we're sitting on all kinds of potential to have cheap energy. And just one layer after another. How long has it taken us to get to this point? We're so hard to get here. There's never been a better time or a clear path to do this project. And, you know, I think it's been said already, but $0 of revenue generated on a pipeline that doesn't exist. Someone said jobs weren't going to be built. Someone's got to build it. Someone has to maintain it. Someone has to operate it. People have to come here to buy it and ship it out somewhere else. All that generates revenue, and none of it exists without this project. Where in economics, somebody made this point that, you know, if we see an increase in supply, it doesn't mean we'll see a decrease in demand. There are very, very few cases in economics where you can see a case where an increase in supply also has an increase in price. That's a pretty rare set of circumstances, and I wouldn't be betting on those rare circumstances in the development of this project. We have to create stable environments for these types of things to happen. And these
the resources. We talk about alternatives. We don't have the mines to produce the materials needed for these alternative energy sources. We would have to cooperate with other nations, with other places in the country. We're not there, and it's so far away. This is right here. It's right now. We talk about needing money for schools and for dividends and all these things. None of that happens by roadblocking this project. I just want to say that I support this bill. I appreciate all of you that are working to make this happen. I would be absolutely aghast to imagine that we get to this point as a state and as a people, and we let this opportunity slip past as we're trying to figure out how to tax it for more money. Thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any.
Great. Thank you very much. We do have Representative Tom Chesky.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. I really appreciate you and your tireless advocacy for Fairbanks, not only the people, the businesses, but education as well. I really appreciate that. You and Lane do a great job, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to call in and supporting this project. Thank you.
And Representative Staff.
Thank Co-Chair Foster, the Chair, to Mr. Nichols. Les, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you for your advocacy for our town and community support, and I hope to see you at the gym when I get home and we pass this gas line bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols, for calling in. We do have three people in the room who would like to testify, and so we're going to go to them, and then we'll be back onto the phones. And so next up, next three are James Christie, Matthew Bagnani, and Carrie Ann Baker. James Christie, if you'd like to put yourself on the record and give us your name and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, thanks you guys for hearing testimonies today. This is the first time I've ever done something like this, so appreciate the patience, and I hope it'll get out everything that I'm looking to get out here. I'm 32, lifelong Alaskan, born and raised here. The LNG line, I understand that people are working tirelessly and there's a lot of back and forth on the fine-tuned details, but one of the questions I would pose for the legislation body is, if this gas line doesn't go, what is the economic future look like for families in Alaska, for somebody that's 32, for younger folks that are 24, 25, that love this state and want to spend their lives here and want to build a future here? What future is there without energy if we're going to import our natural gas from Canada, from Mexico, when we're sitting on trillion cubic feet on the North Slope of Alaska? So maybe it's not the best deal, but what other choice do we have is really my question. What opportunities look like? And we can't foresee the future. If we have this energy here, we don't know what investments may come in. There's unforeseen opportunities that this will bring. And so, countless folks on the phone and probably folks before I got here are in favor, I'm in favor. I would leave that question because everyone else has seemed to cover kind of all the positive benefits of the economic opportunities, but I would ask that question. What other opportunities, if not this?
Have any questions or comments? Seeing that Representative Ballard?
Yeah, could you put your name on the record again, please?
Yeah, James Christie.
Thank you, James. Yep.
Okay, thank you very much for coming in, Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, I know you're here in person, but what community?
I'm Anchorage.
Anchorage, yep. Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you for your testimony. Yep. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in.
Yep.
Next up, we have Matthew Fagnani, and if you could put yourself on the record.
Good afternoon, everybody. Through the chair, my name is Matthew Fagnani from Anchorage, and I am in support of a gas line. There's three things that the gas line needs, and that's supply, contracts, and investment. And for the first time in 50 years, we have all three, or we've been told we have all three. I used to work for the governor doing business development for the state of Alaska, and that's all my job was on the Alaska development team, was economic development for the state. The thing that stops economic development in the state is the high cost of power. Food security was one of the initiatives the governor has working on. We couldn't build a greenhouse in Alaska, not because we didn't have the initiative, the know-how, but it was the high cost of power and natural gas that kills the deal. each and every time. So if you want cranes in the skyline, we need to make this a state more affordable to attract investment. I've already submitted written comments, so I'm kind of speaking off the cuff now. The gas on the North Slope is stranded, and the definition of stranded is to leave it there. We're given an opportunity to produce gas, deliver gas, and what makes, I think, this most unique is the current federal administration. The administration supports the gas line. It's been demonstrated by having not just one secretary here in the state, but three different secretaries from the EPA, the Interior. Can't think of the other one. Thank you. And that tells me, or signals to me, that there's interest at the federal level as well. The Indo-Pacific needs our gas. This is a national security issue. Most people don't know, but the natural gas plant or the oil pipeline is part of our national security and is deemed a national security pipeline. I kind of see the gas line going in the same direction. The Indo-Pacific, they're looking for a way to make gas more secure in the Indo-Pacific. It's been stated several times by the administration, and I think that's an important thing to also consider. Having the right tax is very important for the natural gas pipeline. Having the low enough tax is important. I know I'm out of time, but I also want to bring up the other point. These municipalities will want a different tax structure. Well, they'll get it from a different means, and that is by attracting new investment, new opportunities for growth in those communities, and that's what Alaska needs. For us to grow our economy, for us to grow our state, we need to attract new investment into the state. Thank you.
We do have Representative Ballard.
Yep. Thank you, and through the co-chair, I appreciate you being here, and I know you're testifying on your behalf, but you have a little bit of experience, especially on the national security side, I believe, maybe military. Could you just kind of mention that on the record, please?
Sure. During my time as, well, I'm an Air Force veteran, number one. I did nuclear security for the Air Force, for our nation. Also on the Alaska Development Team, through the governor's office, I focused primarily on DOD.
Which governor?
The DOD, Governor Dunleavy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, any further questions, comments? Representative Jimmy.
I just wanted to say thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, appreciate you coming in.
Yep.
Next up, we have Carrie Ann Baker. And if you can put yourself on the record, thanks for joining us.
Coming from a track meet, so I apologize.
Multitasking.
My attire and my
bell. I love it.
I thought you were going to bring you guys.
You're bringing a lot of energy. Oh, this is great.
I need that.
Carrie Ann Baker. I'm from the Kenai Peninsula, specifically from Homer, and just wanted to thank all of you guys for giving up your Saturday to come here and listen to testimony on a bill and go over these really complicated issues. I know it takes a lot of time, and that you guys dig through lots and lots and lots of information. And so I just want to thank all of you for your service and your time doing it and representing our state as well. I rise in support of this project, and I think the best time to have done it was 50 years ago, and the next best time is now. I'm raising three children here, two of them that are over at Diamond right now, and I have another one that's at Boise State studying civil engineering, and I want her to come back. I want her to come back and live in this state. I want her to raise a family in this state. I want her to have some grandkids, not soon, but in the future. And I want her to have a place to have jobs and lower cost energy. And I want to be here in another 20 years cheering on my grandkids at a state track meet or whatever sport they might play or music. And I think if we don't bring down the cost of energy, if we don't provide these kind of jobs for our children and our future, we're going to really struggle. And I don't want to export the three most important things to me, because if they go, I'm going as well. So in looking at this project, it looks, according to the presentations I've seen, they're looking at nearly 12,000 jobs, 12,000 jobs. And I hope three of them go to my kids and my kids' friends. So I urge you guys to support this bill and to bring tax reform. And I just appreciate the opportunities this state has given me. And I'd like to be around to see it for the next couple of generations as well. So thank you all, and thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much. We have Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Ms. Baker, I recognize the sound of a cowbell as a longtime teacher and supporter. So the question is, what events and what names should we be looking for?
So the long jump, the high jump, and the triple, they're all done. And then the 4x2. And they platformed in all three, three of the four.
And put their names on the record so we can make sure and look for them in those state, because there's state championships going on that you're missing. But thank you for coming up.
No problem. Well, I didn't miss much. I'm going straight back there. Well, I'll just give a shout out to the Homer High School girls team in particular. To the coaches that have just given up so much time. So, and I did not intentionally bring this cowbell. I am kind of embarrassed about it, sir.
Mr. Chair Foster, when I retired from my classroom, the question was, who was I giving my cowbells to? And to a parent who would show up and cheer and embarrass every runner and make sure they had a supporter there, whether they were yours or someone else's, is appreciative. And those triple jump kids have to be really coordinated. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being your representative.
Thank you, Coach Foster. The chair and Ms. Baker, just appreciate your testimony. Thanks for taking time of your day to come out here and more cowbell.
It's an old SNL skit, isn't it? Okay. So let's see here. I think that's everyone in the room. And so next we're going to go back to the phones. And looks like we have 19 people on the phones. And so the next three that we have up are Thomas Backerk, David Leslie, and George Pierce. And so, Thomas, I believe it's Backerk calling from Fairbanks, if you can put yourself on the record. Thomas, are you there? Thomas, are you there? We'll come back to Thomas here in a moment.
Can you dare say that again?
Thomas? We'll come back to Thomas. We're going to go to the next person, which is David Leslie, calling from Fairbanks. Mr. Leslie, if you can put yourself on the record.
Yeah, my name is David Leslie. I live in Fairbanks. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. First, I just want to say I'm a Inupiaq. Lost Native people are the stewards of this land and impacted the most by climate change. Even though Glen Farms sponsored the Alaska Sustainable Energy Conference, LNG is anything but sustainable. And I do recognize that the Fairbanks area and GVEA needs to diversify as much as possible. So I am supportive of a Fairbanks spur. I'm happy that that's in the current legislation, but I am alarmed that it had to be added in there. Fairbanks is the second largest city in the state, and to have that be a contentious item is a red flag. I'm also really worried about how this special session was called in for a, at best, medium-term solution to our energy problem in Alaska. We need sustainable energy. Last year, a year ago, the most important time is now. And we can be doing that with solar and wind. And those projects, solar could be installed in so many different buildings this summer, but winter hits. So many of my friends and organizations I work with have solar panels and only pay an electric bill 3 months out of the year. The rest of the time, they are overproducing. It's also, I'm really alarmed with Governor Dunleavy's using public pensions as a political tool in this. This project should be able to stand on its own without bullying or attacking state workers. We have so many jobs in the state that has yet to fill. And it's not just mining, oil, and gas that we need for jobs. And Dunleavy has gutted the state workforce. He's also working with Donald Trump in lockstep for international oil and mining companies. We see this not just in Minnesota, but with the Ambler Road. And we have investors from Australia and Canada who are getting special treatment and have buy-in from the federal government. And Dunleavy is working with them. And it's obviously a conflict of interest and raises serious ethical concerns, yet those are not being addressed. and at the Alaska Sustainable Energy Conference, I met someone who said he was from Glen Farne, and he was Italian, and we're going to have many more Italians in Fairbanks this summer. So I worry about the influence of not just outsiders, but foreign companies working with Donald Trump and Dunleavy to push projects to Russians through and not give their due diligence, while also having us give up 90% of our taxes. This is not sustainable. We need real solutions. Please make sure whatever you do is the best for all Alaskans, and make sure we have a thriving environment and ecology. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leslie. I see no questions, and so we'll try Mr. Thomas Becker. Thomas, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. If you could put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
My name is Tom Bockert, and I'm affiliated with just myself and my family. I would like, first of all, to say that I think that this whole project is ill-advised and being rushed. Glen Farne has no experience doing this. I don't trust any of their numbers that they come up with. That what they say it's going to cost is way under cost. That said, I think a gas line would be great for Alaska and for the country and everything in between, at least for a while, but not if we got to give up our taxes. And any viable project that requires that the state give up its taxes is just a giveaway and another subsidy for corporate enterprises, usually foreign ones, no less. I would like to see, if they're going to go through this, what price are they going to guarantee the consumer in Fairbanks for this gas? They keep saying, oh, it's going to bring lower energy prices to us. Alaska has been a major producer of oil for years and decades now, and yet our energy prices for oil in this state are some of the highest in the country. Just the fact that it's producing it here does not guarantee a reasonable price for the consumers of the state. I think that this is being rushed by Dunleavy, of course, who's in lockstep with Trump. And the way that he's trying to force the legislature to deal with it right at this moment is ridiculous. There's no reason that this couldn't be put off to the next session. Glen Farne is still going to be sitting there begging next session, and there's no reason to rush this through before it has been thoroughly vetted. We should not be giving up tax breaks to these oil and gas corporations just because they say they need it. Currently, they're making more profit now than they have in years, and what prices gas is through the roof. Why? Well, thanks, Donald Trump. And at that, I'll end it.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Becker. I don't see any questions. So next we're going to go to, let's see, the next three that we have are George Pierce, Shelley Shoup, and Libby Dalton. So first we'll go to George Pierce in Kisilov, if you can put yourself on the record.
Yes, my name is George Pierce, 40 years in Alaska, and thanks for having testimony on HB 381. I am concerned with this LNG proposal and the lack of transparency. Under Dunleavy, it's looking more like a property tax giveaway at 92%. That's not acceptable. We need transparency, real project costs, profit numbers, all made public, reliable gas and tariffs, and capital expenses. Protect our Alaskans' interests. No short-changing Alaskans. This project needs serious study and thorough review. Our community deserves a property tax and not the insult of $76 million. These communities will be facing hardships without revenue, and we all know you need revenue. 92% tax giveaway looks like a Crooked Screen offered under SB21 pipeline test is fully deducted under SB21, so it's already a deduction for the industry. This proposal should be called SB21-2. Alaskans own the resources, not the oil industry. We should get maximum out of our resources, not the minimum. And you guys start at the minimum every time and go lower. You take an oath of office to represent the Alaskans, not the oil industry. And is the backers of this pipeline putting anything up front on such projects? Usually a 25 to 40% is required. So maybe you can answer that question. Anyway, you need to represent the Alaskans, not the oil industry. Okay, thanks for listening to my testimony.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Pierce, for calling in. And so let's see here. I wanted to remind folks that 2:30, that is the call-in deadline, or here in the room or at the Fairbanks LIO, the sign-in time deadline is 2:30 if folks want to testify. And so next up, we have Shelley Shoup calling in from Moose Creek, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hi, this is Shelley Shoup from Moose Creek, Alaska, here in the interior. I'm calling to represent myself as a private citizen. I am calling to support this bill. I'm calling to support affordable energy for the interior. I would love to convert to natural gas and save some money on heating oil. I would love the spur coming to Fairbanks. I don't have all the details. I don't know everything about the bill. We elect you guys to go down there and hash out the details and work with the experts for the maximum benefit of Alaskans. And so for this Alaskan, it means building this line and getting natural gas to Fairbanks. So I'm just going to keep it short and just say that. Build a line. Let's get natural gas to Fairbanks. Let's get some relief for Alaskans.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Ms. Shoup, we do have two comments, Representative Tomchevsky.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Shoup, Shelley, for calling in, taking the time to give us your thoughts on this project. I really do appreciate all the work you do in the community, and look forward to seeing you when we get back to Fairbanks. Thank you for calling in.
And we've got Representative Stepp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, the Chair, Ms. Shoup. Shelley, thank you for calling in and all your activity in Fairbanks and the interior and testifying in favor of the project. Thanks.
Thanks for everything you guys do. Thank you.
And just a reminder, if folks are watching and would like to submit written testimony, they can do so by emailing us at house.finance@akleg.gov. Again, that is house.finance@akleg.gov. The next three people we have are Libby Dalton Slane, and then Josh Church and Dixie Banner. Libby Dalton Slane calling from Fairbanks, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hi, this is Libby Dalton, and I got cut off and I called right back in and they were able to patch me right through. So thank you very much for making that happen. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, third generation. I've worked on the pipeline for 3 years. I watched and lived the prosperity that oil revenue brought to this state. It was a game changer. We were talking about the gas line almost as soon as it was over. Yeah, and we never did really stop talking about it. That natural gas is a huge asset to everyone that lives in this state, and it belongs to us, and we should develop it, and we should be able to use it. I'm all for alternative energy sources. I like hydro. I like solar, but that doesn't fill my chainsaw, my four-wheeler, my side-by-side, my car, my boat, my vehicles. We need gas. We're not getting rid of fossil fuels anytime soon. We need to take advantage of this gas line.
So I urge the legislature to pass this bill. You know, someone previously mentioned that Fairbanks was the second largest city in Alaska. We're not. We're no longer the second largest city. We're getting crushed up here by energy prices. We've lost schools. We've lost our neighbors. We've lost jobs. We've lost businesses. It's insane. And we need help. And it's right before our eyes. I really urge people to support this gas line and make it happen. You know, I have kids here working. I have grandkids here, and they want to be able to stay here and work. And if they can't, they'll leave. And that's been the pattern, and we need to stop that pattern. So I wholeheartedly support this Alaska liquefied natural gas line and the spur to Fairbanks. Absolutely, 100%. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We do have Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Libby, for calling in. Always good to hear from you, and just looking forward to seeing you when we get back to Fairbanks. But thank you for your perspective, and thank you for working on TAPS. You know, that's a great thing that has done great things for our state. And so just want to thank you for your advocacy.
Representative Stepp.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Ms. Shane, Libby, thank you, and always a pleasure to hear from you. And thanks for your advocacy on this issue.
Okay, and next up we've got Josh Church calling from Fairbanks.
Yeah, my name is Josh Church. I'm a business owner from Fairbanks. I have built buildings all around the state. I'm an investment manager and a wealth manager. I've served on the City of Fairbanks Finance Committee and the Borough Investment Committee. And I just want to say, I don't think some of you in the legislature know how bad you are screwing this up. I don't think some of the people know how bad the state is. I took over a building last winter because the owner couldn't afford to make the back taxes, couldn't afford the heating bill. He just walked away. The owner said, it's yours. You pay the realtor fees, you can have it. This is a 27,000 square foot building across from the state office building in downtown Fairbanks. And right next to it is a boarded up parking garage worth $50 million that I used to park in when I went to college. But now it's vacant and vandalized. Our city, our state is in decline. And we need this gas line. We need the jobs. And you guys need to stop arguing about whether it pencils or not. TAPS didn't pencil. It passed by one vote, the pipeline. Where would we be without that one vote? Alaska almost didn't come to be without one man's vision. They called it Seward's Folly. You need to do your job. You're down there in special session. You've had months to get this done. Alaska's been wanting this for years. Quit wasting time. Pass the gas line. I don't care whether it's 8 cents or 6 cents or 0 cents. Alaskans need this. There will be so many benefits beyond just the tax revenue to this state. You have the chance to be a hero, or you have a chance to be a villain. Be a leader and let this bill go through. Pass this gas line. Get a good bill through that allows this project forward. If you don't, I will pledge to make sure you're thrown out of office. I will work tirelessly because you will destroy this state. I have friends and family members leaving this state because they can't afford it. I'm a third generation Alaskan. We need this. You heard the testimony. It's not your job to figure out the financing and all that. Glen Farm is here willing to do the work. Be a leader and get a clean bill out so we can have jobs and growth again. This is crucial. Do your damn job.
Okay, and we've got Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Thank you, Mr. Church, Josh, for calling in. Always good to hear from my constituents in the Fairbanks area. We really do appreciate your advocacy, and thank you for all you do for Fairbanks. We do appreciate it.
You too, sir.
Representative
Stepp. Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, to the Chair, Ms. Church, Josh. I always good to hear from you. Thanks for all your advocacy and work and your impassioned testimony. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Church, for your testimony. Next up, we have the next three are Dixie Banner and then Edward Alexander and Ben Boker. And so Dixie Banner calling in from Wasilla.
Yes, this is Dixie Banner. I've been up in Alaska for 40 years. My kids won't return because there's nothing here in Alaska. For the last 14 years, we've had no opportunities. There's no professional positions. And I actually am a vet myself. And the goal is to bring Alaska back to an environment that will be here for our future and our kids. I also was on the Exxon team that routed the original LMG project. That was a boat rope. And I'm going to be fairly honest. There was a lot of good old boy club favors, and I saw the waste. And I got laid off because I didn't agree with the contract negotiations in regards to getting the subcontractors these good old deals. There are people that were actually asking the contract to move themselves to California at our expense. But the bottom line is we hired you as legislators to do a job. Get the pipeline, and I agree with Kurt. Definitely, he's passionate, and I am passionate. We are tired of being used as puppets. Glen Farm, yes, if they want to continue to drill and produce the pipeline, then we need to sit up at the discussion table. This includes the public, just not you, because you are not. You've got jobs, and you've got a retirement benefit. The rest of us are sitting here, and I do know the pipeline originally had a spur around for various locations. There were supposed to be gas lines spurs to Delta, the Valley, the Nipisky, but they're only going to Fairbanks. This is not an issue with Fairbanks. This is a big issue with the Valley, Anchorage, Nipisky, Kenai. We're all one unit. This is a mission. If we were trying to go to time of war, you guys, I would not want Dunleavy or any of you guys to be the leader of our ship, because we would see bottom line. But the bottom line is, it's our kids. It's just like you're going to have to go into the court system with the family. You're fighting for your kids. And the deal is, you're going to fight for them because that's your future. Otherwise, the judge is going to take them away from you. And you have to negotiate. And the compromise is now, not later.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Banner. I don't see any questions. So appreciate your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Edward Alexander calling in from Fairbanks.
Hi, everyone. I'm Edward Alexander. I'm from Fairbanks, originally from Fort Yukon. Thank you for taking the time to take testimony on this today. I just want to remind you all of our Constitution, Article 8, Natural Resources. Section 1, the Statement of Policy, is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and the development of its resources by making them available for the maximum use consistent with the public interest. And Part 2, General Authority, the legislature should provide for natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people. This bill, so written, is not constitutionally acceptable. It does not provide for the maximum benefit of our people. You know, giving property tax breaks for Glen Farm and out-of-state oil and gas companies, if that's what's on the table, then I want to sign up too. I mean, why stop with out-of-state entities claiming they're going to provide an economic benefit to Alaska? I'm living here in Alaska now. I've lived here my whole life. In 50 years of living here, I've been providing an economic benefit to the state the whole time. I have property here in Fairbanks in the North Star Borough. Why can't I sign up like Glen Farm can from these people from out of state to pay 80 to 90% less in property tax? I know it's not going to be called a property tax at this point in this bill, but let's be honest. If this project was any good, it wouldn't be getting pushed through so rapidly like this. Glen Farm doesn't even have the experience to build something like this. They've only built like 15-mile pipeline connectors, and now we're expecting them to build an 800-mile pipeline. I think it's just kind of a fantasy. You know, one of the things the legislature should be doing is fixing the 90-day special session, get rid of these special sessions, fix the 90-day session, increase the length of time that you're down there so you can actually handle business for Alaskans. If we got our property tax benefit from this pipeline like we should, $1 billion annually estimated, We could take $500 million of that every year and put it towards renewable energy for lowering costs here in Fairbanks. $500 million going to solar panels go a long way to lowering costs here in the interior. So I think we need to actually start taking care of business in the right way, do strategic planning, maybe have like a state development financial interest instrument like Norway has, and stop kind of chasing our tail every 90 or every legislative session and actually get some strategic plans down, actually own our resources, develop them for the maximum benefit of our people, including solar and wind resources to lower the cost of electricity here in the interior, as well as hydro. Thank you all for taking the testimony. Hope you guys vote this down. There's no need to rush if it's a good project.
Okay, Representative Stan.
Thank you, Coach Foster, through the chair, Mr. Alexander. Ed, I appreciate you calling and telling us your opinion on the bill and all the wonderful things you do in Fairbanks. I hope your family is doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Next up, we have Ben Bedger calling from Soldotna.
Thank you. I'm Ben Bedger, energy policy analyst for Cook Inlet Keeper, calling in from Soldotna. And I'm urging you to vote no on this bill. I've watched several of the Alaska LNG hearings this year, and I've seen the price models for phase one and two the Department of Revenue has created. It's a lot of information, but it only obscures the lack of the most fundamental piece of information you need for your decision, and that's the capital cost of the two phases of the project. If Glen Farne, or anyone else for that matter, says they need a tax break, they should provide real numbers demonstrating that the project is likely to benefit Alaskans. Instead, they've left you guessing. And the price model is based on guesswork. The only certainty you've seen is that the project will raise energy prices in the short term during phase one and has a slim chance of lowering them in the longer term during phase two. The decisions that make the difference between these two outcomes are not tax breaks that you might pass the next 30 days, but gas contracts that will be decided on the other side of the Pacific in the context of historic uncertainty in energy markets. Japan is restarting idle nuclear plants. Mature renewable energy technologies are becoming increasingly embedded throughout the world. LNG demand is not likely to grow in the coming decade, and it's out of our hands either way. This bill is not a step towards the serious energy solutions that Alaskans need. Aside from that long shot bet on Asian gas markets, all options for maintaining our gas reliance mean more expensive energy. In the future, please devote the same level of focus, funding, and diligence that you've wasted on the gas line to work on gas conservation and renewable energy. Thank you.
Okay, we've got Representative Allard.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Booker. I see down here you're with Energy Policy Analysis and Cook Inlet Keeper. Are you testifying on behalf of Cook Inlet Keeper?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions. Thanks for calling in. I think we've got 11 folks on the line here, and so the next three are Bill Witt, Rita Trometer, and Jamie Donnelly. Bill Witt, calling from Fairbanks, if you'd like to give us your name and affiliation.
Yeah, my name is Bill Witt. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Mr. Witt.
A natural gas pipeline. However, the governor and Glen Farmer's rush and confusing process is corrupt. One only needs to look at the gas line routes to understand that this will not reduce Fairbanks prices nor benefit Fairbanks. The pipeline route just totally avoids Fairbanks, and the promoters talk of 10,000 jobs in the state doesn't make any difference, because half those jobs are going to go to people out of state. 40% of oil and gas jobs now go out of state. So those jobs are not going to benefit Fairbanks. The spur line to Fairbanks was added at the last minute as an option at local cost. Fairbanks residents tax themselves for schools, roads, and essential services. Why is a local property tax giveaway being added onto this project at the last minute? It wasn't part of this project 6 months ago. All of a sudden, Glen Farne, and the governor as well, just to indicate their lack of seriousness about this project, added this at the last minute. What that means is they give away the local property tax. It's going to add to the property tax that myself and other residents are paying. Right now, the borough, our local property tax through the borough on the oil pipeline is a positive revenue stream for the borough. It helps pay for our roads, our schools, and the state is not showing any interest. And it's saying, let's move all those costs over to local property taxpayers. And once again, why was this property tax giveaway not heard about until the last minute? It's a bait and switch operation. They sold this as one thing, and now they're trying to foist it on us as something else. And what other giveaways are they going to spring on us at the last minute? And the property tax, just to reiterate, the property tax giveaway given to Glen Farm will fall. That money that Glen Farm is not paying is going to have to be paid by local residents. If this project fails, it's because of Glen Farm and the government. Thank you for giving me time.
Okay, and I don't see any questions, so thanks for calling in. The next three people we have are Rita Trometer, Jamie Donnelly, and Ronald Larkin. Rita Trometer calling from North Pole.
Yes, Rita Trometer, North Pole. And I am speaking on behalf of myself. And each legislator is elected to support the best quality of life for residents and their families to survive throughout our state. Living in the interior of Alaska is a very expensive lifestyle without having any style. Families and businesses are surviving day to day, not even paycheck to paycheck. We need lower energy costs to exist. We have elections to pick the people who make good decisions for our state, and this vote is an excellent time to show your constituents that you are doing a good job. It is overwhelming to think that we have an opportunity to make Alaska number one state in our nation, and there are elected officials sitting and denying the residents a way to exist. I am briefly listening to the other people's comments and talking about the tax and who's going to get paid and how much is it going to get and the state's portion and what is it going to be. Since each of you have been elected, you actually have the people on staff and you can hire outside agencies to come up with those answers. You just need to do your job. It is amazing that the elected officials who are making a very good paycheck in addition to nice benefits are denying the residents of a future jobs here having an affordable lifestyle. We as residents are not asking you to do anything outside of your job that you were elected for. Step up to the plate, get the last gas line in order, and make sure that there is a spur line to the interior who has never ever had the benefit of having cheap energy like other parts of our state. The number of jobs the gas line will produce would be fantastic. Our legislators, you need to make good choices to keep our people working, get our children educated, and get experienced quality workers. Just keep in mind the persons living in Fairbanks, Alaska, we are the golden heart of the state, and Alaska can be the golden nugget of our nation. Please pass the gas line HB 381 so individuals can stay here and exist with their families. Thank you.
And thank you, Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you, Rita. Thank you for calling in, taking the time, and giving us your point of view on this project. And thank you for holding elected officials across the board accountable. I love to see your tireless advocacy in holding our elected officials accountable from local to state and otherwise. So thank you.
Okay. And we've got Representative Scott.
Thank you, Chair Foster, the Chair, to Ms. Trometer. Rita, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to call in and support this project and all you do for Fairbanks.
Okay, thanks for calling. Next up, Jamie Donnelly from Eagle River.
Yeah, hi, this is Jamie Donnelly from Eagle River, and I'm representing myself and no one else. And I find it really exciting that we have an opportunity to finally get this gas line. I think over the last few decades, our people have spent over $500 million trying to get this up and running.
And I think at this point, anything we can do to get the staff line in will help us. But there's one problem I have with it, and well, there's a lot of problems, but on section 5, the NSC and Kenai getting almost 43% of the entire state revenue is just crazy. And I hope that none of the other House representatives or senators will let this happen. I'm sure Allard will stick up for our state parking and work to get that amended on section 5. But gas is pretty cool. We need it going. And, you know, everyone's bashing Japan, but Japan owns more of our debt than any other country in the world. And if we can use some of this to repay our debt to Japan, I think that's good too for our country and our state. So thank you so much for listening to my testimony today. Allard, give them hell. Thank you.
Representative Ballard.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Donnelly. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
My one Eagle River.
And so next three we have are Ronald Larkin, Dean Barthes, and Adrian Canio. Ronald Larkin calling in from Fairbanks.
Hey there. Can you hear me? I don't have a great connection.
Yes, we can hear you great.
Okay. Yeah, Ronald Larkin, Fairbanks. Just for background here, I'm representing myself. I'm a small business owner in the area, and I'm supposed to be on a job site right now, but somebody notified me of the call, so here I am, not earning money. My mortgage is going to be late again this month, and I spent the winter in pitched battle with my oil tank. And I lost. Thankfully, my church stepped in and covered me before my house froze. That's the background that I'm speaking from. And I might surprise you guys by saying the spur does not matter. The tax revenue does not matter. None of the minutiae and the economic viability that you guys are talking about actually matters. The economic viability is up to the company that runs it. You guys should make a way for them to recoup their cost, whatever that is, because the physical pipeline sitting on the ground, half full, empty, full, doesn't. That's all that matters. And the way that we know that is we've got 40 plus years of the experience with the last one. If you let it get put on the ground, we will figure out how to reap the economic benefit. Give the company enough time to recoup their costs and then move on. How many times have you guys changed the deal on the oil pipeline? You have the power. Get the bill through. Get the project going. We can revisit the deal later. That's all. That's really all that matters. And for the people that have been adding the minutiae to this, I'm so glad. I actually super appreciate the people who called in opposing, because they're telling the truth. They oppose it for the reasons they really oppose it for, environmental and wanting to stifle economics and all of the real core base reasons. The representatives who are muddying the water up there are using strategy to muddy the water so they don't have to say what their constituents just called in and said. Like, hey, put up a bunch of solar panels or something like that. So the members in the coalition, you have been lying for 30 years, lying. And the only way you can prove that you weren't lying is pass this bill now. Otherwise, you are lying, you were lying, and you're about to prove it if you don't pass this bill. That's it.
Okay, Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster. The Chair, Mr. Larkin, thank you for taking time out of your day and your job to come and testify in favor of this project. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your testimony. And next up, we have Dean Barthes calling in from Nikiski.
Hello. This is Dean Barthes. I represent myself in Nikiski, Alaska. I wholeheartedly agree with the last caller. We just heard that a $45 increase in electric bills around Fairbanks. We just heard on the news that the legislation has left the court system over a decades-long fight over what the value of the pipeline is. If I was an investor, a bank, I would not invest in Alaska because you're going to change the rules. Forget the tax on the property and do a volumetric tax. That way, nothing's going to change. This is how much is coming through the line. This is how much you get. I am appalled at the legislators and the pettiness and greed that's been shown in the last hearings over the last month. And people would say this is being rushed. Over 2 years before Ben Farn got involved, the issue of what taxes and how it's going to be apportioned has been raised in the legislature with the AGDC. It is not something new. The fact that some of the people haven't heard about it, that's on them. But the legislators, you are just, he's right. The minutia is none of your business. Whether they make a profit or not is none of your business. How much it costs is none of your business. What's your business is to see to it. They told you flat out. They're not going to do the project if they can't figure out a better tax bill than what you're proposing. If it's not them, who's it going to be? Do you have somebody else that I don't know about? Some union people that are going to build it for you? I don't think so. Do your job. Get this thing on the line, and it's important to do it immediately because every time we get a new governor, it's changed. We have a new project. Oh, that old one, you can't do it that way. You got to do it my way. Our governor is going to change shortly. I don't want to see that happen again.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. I don't see any questions at the table here. And so next we're going to go to Adrian Canio, and then after that, Rebecca Siegel and Johanna Sajic. And so Adrian Canio calling in from Anchorage.
Hi, I'm Adrian Canino, a resident in Anchorage. I'm representing myself. Thanks to the chair and the committee for all of the hard work. This is a tricky problem. I'm calling in to express my concerns about this bill. I'm concerned that, first of all, I'm concerned we seem to think that solar, hydro, and wind would not be local energy because those would be local energy sources. And I'm really concerned about more state investment into the Glen Farm project at a time when the state's budget is perennially precarious. They won't give hard numbers. When they do, they don't look like they are going to deliver what they're promising, but Glen Farm will certainly put their hand out for a tax break. Tax cuts for this infrastructure, when the numbers in terms of benefits to us everyday energy consumers aren't real, is super concerning to me. I'm also really concerned about this phase one, phase two back and forth that we've seen, and then the sudden need for tax breaks. And it's just a red flag. It's just a total red flag that Glen Farm might act just like any other big mega corporation that's foisting fossil fuels upon us by costing us money, bringing in all outsiders to do the work, even though they promised to make jobs, and trying to weasel out of it when they need to be accountable for, heaven forbid, something bad happening to that pipeline somewhere down the line. We can get energy somewhere else. The no-brainer energy right now is hydro, wind, solar. Instead of a property break for a fictional project, we could offer instead a tax incentive to any property owner in the state to put in solar right now, plug-in or otherwise, and start making energy for themselves right now, and then for the whole grid. And Alaskans could come together and create solar energy of our own rooftops for our neighbors, because that's what Alaskans do. That's what should be in special session right now, not a discussion about a tax break for a mega corporation and a fictional project. Thank you very much for hearing my testimony.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Canio. And I don't see any questions. So next we're going to go over to Rebecca Siegel calling in from Burbanks.
Hi. My name's Rebecca Siegel. I'm calling in from Fairbanks, and I'm calling because I have some concerns about this bill. First of all, I don't think Glenn Farn is being honest and transparent, and so it makes me concerned that we have a whole special session to try to give a bunch of state resources to a company that is giving us cost estimates from 2016 and has not provided any real numbers. And I think if they need this big tax break to build the pipeline won't be viable. I don't see this project lowering energy costs in Fairbanks. The $50 million spur line would need to be funded by the borough. And on top of that, I did look at the numbers, and according to Glenn Farn's own estimates, the minimum cost per million or 1,000 cubic feet is $21.52. That's assuming the project does not go over cost. The gas costs $1 at the North Slope. On the other hand, trucking gas in North Slope, which is not a great option price-wise either, is $19 per 1,000 cubic feet. And then importing from lower 48 is $17 per 1,000 cubic feet. So this project won't bring cheaper energy prices to us in the interior or anywhere in the state, probably. And then I'm wondering about public safety concerns with the influx of workers. I'm wondering about how our public health service that's already stretched thin is going to accommodate all the workers, and as well as emergency services, schools, housing, and road maintenance. But there's a lot of pieces of this that need to be looked at, and we don't need to rush into this headlong during special session. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any comments or questions. So next we're going to go over to Johanna Sajic calling from Fairbanks.
Yes. Hi there. My name is Johanna Sajic. I'm a resident voter in Fairbanks. I'm representing myself today. I've been here in Alaska for almost 15 years. I raised my children in Anchorage, and I've moved out on my own now that they're grown, and I'm in Fairbanks. Today, I'm here asking that legislators not reward secrets with subsidies. The callers before me have sort of said a couple of the things I was planning to say, so I might be repeating, but I think it's important information. The 2016 cost projections for the proposed LNG pipeline, it's out of date. And although there's updated estimates that are related to the project's overall cost and timeline, Glenn Farn refuses to release these details. It doesn't make any sense why they would hold information on a project that is purportedly so great for Alaskans. Without an equitable property tax, everyday Alaskans are going to be forced to subsidize additional costs associated with road maintenance and vital services such as EMS, which is going to put pressure on already strained housing markets and school districts. This is a risky project. It's going to increase our energy costs, plunder our natural resources, and further devastate our climate. The HA LNG project, like a lot of people have said, this has been a discussion for years. It's absolutely worth taking the time and effort to look into how similar projects have operated. Developers aren't interested in a viable project. They're incentivized regardless of long-term viability, and they make money without even seeing it to completion. In this way, it's a rigged game for developers, promoters, and lenders. And I don't see that we cannot continue subsidizing corporations to the detriment of our schools, the essential infrastructure, and our PFD checks. As a resident voter of Fairbanks, I urge you to prioritize popular policies for fair taxation and to take the role of managing Alaska's continuing budget crisis seriously and vote no on HB 381. I know I have a little bit more time. There's renewable energy is already working in Galena, Kotzebue, and Kodiak. These are absolutely great ways for us to look at different options here in our state. Thank you. I appreciate everyone's time today. Thank you for taking the time and hearing my comments today.
Okay, thank you. We've got Representative Steph.
Thank you, Chair Foster, to the chairman of the stage. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to call in and talk about this issue and your time in Fairbanks. Thank you.
Okay. And thanks for your testimony. We do have, let's see here, one, two, we've got four more people online here, and then that should round us out for the day here. So with that, let me just do a double check here. The next person we have is Christopher Ashcraft calling in from North Pole.
Hi, yes, this is Chris Ashcraft. I'm representing myself here. I just want to say, you know, we Alaskans have, you know, for lack of a better term, we're beginning to get greedy in the state, and the greediness has ran off so many projects. You know, we ran out the Fort Hills refinery with taxation greed. We ran out other projects like that. We need to make this marketable to the world market so we can be competitive. We don't have a population base to justify a pipeline by ourselves. But the pipeline would benefit us greatly. So we need to be able to market to the world. And that's where the tax break comes in, is so we can be on par with Texas and other stuff so we can make this beneficial. I mean, we've just gotten our energy hikes. GDA just raised our rate for the third time this year. So like next month, I'll have an additional $100 a month power bill without using any extra power. We need to make sustainable energy, and the pipeline needs to go through, and we need to be marketable on the world level, not necessarily what Alaska thinks we should pay for it. The only thing I would say we should change is anything that's sold in the state to an end user, you know, to generate our own power, heat our own homes, we should be taxed half the amount that we tax the what we sell outside of the state. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you. I don't see any comments or questions, so appreciate your calling in. The next person we have here is Herbert Butler, calling in from Fairbanks.
Hello, my name is Herbert Butler. I'm representing myself, although I am a member of Community Advisory Council. First of all, I'll talk about the conditions in Fairbanks. We have three coal-fired power plants, and more people are switching to wood because of cost, and which is mean that every winter we have the worst air quality in the world, practically. We haul our own fuel, a lot of people do, and the fuel costs for fuel has jumped $2 in price late this winter. Property owners like us have tuned up our homes as best we can, tried paying windows, high-cost efficient boilers, electronic thermostats, in order to reduce costs. IGU's price for gas is about equal to what it costs for fuel oil. And so it's not worth spending $5,000 to $15,000 to convert over to natural gas at this point. GDEA had to spend an exceptional amount of money on fuel oil to produce power this past winter, and that's why they're raising their bills. Another point is 70% of senators and 72% of representatives in our state are urban-based. And it's the urban communities that will best benefit from lower energy costs from the LNG natural gas pipeline. And yet, these Congress people are bickering about taxation. If they want better taxes, switch to sales tax in the state. The consequences are ahead of us on the horizon. Imagine having to ship in LNG to North Kenai to supply gas to the urban centers. Imagine having the urban centers switch over to fuel oil. Imagine the three oil refineries in Alaska never, ever being able to make up or keep up the demand for fuel oil. Thank you for allowing my testimony.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Butler. And next up, we have Destry Payne calling in from North Pole.
Thank you. My name's Destry Payne. I'm presenting myself. I've got some input on this gas line. First of all, the purpose of government is to protect the people's rights. We, the Alaskan people, delegate certain powers for the purpose of carrying out the will of the people. But for this tax, the only constitutional tax that exists is on new items only, and a fuel tax for paying for roads. All other taxes go against the Constitution. Alaska is very rich in resources. Every bit of our resources that belong to the Alaskan people should pass through our ports for the benefit of the people. We've had a problem of extremely high cost of heating oil and gasoline and diesel. The Alaskan people should be able to obtain it at the cost of extraction, refinement, and delivery. We do have refineries in Alaska. They should be in production to benefit the people. If we don't have enough, we need to build more. There's no reason the Alaskan people need to be paying out the teeth just to try and stay warm in winter. Solar energy does not work in the wintertime. I've got a buddy of mine who has to use a generator to charge his system every week so he can maintain lighting and heat. We shouldn't have to face that. But that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Payne. I don't see any questions. So with that, the last two people we have here, let's see here, we've got Steve Chmielowski calling in from Copper Center, if you can put yourself on the record.
Yeah, this is Steve Chmielowski from Copper Center. Hey, I just want you guys to pass this gas line, HB 381, I think it is. Get it going. I worked as an operator, equipment operator for 40 years. The job opportunities that open up for the people that live in our community is immense. And I know the line doesn't come this way, but it's still the trickle-down effect, and the guys can go to work over there. I just bought 15 gallons of highway truck fuel for my small business that I have here. We do septics and gravel pads and driveways and whatnot. And the cost is immense, and the opportunity for me to do those jobs is going to start to wane because people can't afford to heat their home and build a septic or a road. I have two kids that work on the slope. They're doing extremely well. And this gas line would present even more of an opportunity for them as well as me because I benefit from the trickle-down effect. I benefit if I decide to go back to work on the hard money jobs. It's a win situation, and the long-term benefit for this state, for our kids, for our grandkids, is going to go way beyond what these legislatures are short-sighted seeing. My dad and uncles and aunts all worked on taps during the construction, and it was a great benefit for all of my family, my brothers. We grew up, and we were able to buy things that we would have never been able to do had we not had the opportunity to tap. So I encourage all of you legislators to get on board, get this damn thing done, and make it happen. We can worry about the tax and everything else later as time permits, but it needs to get running. I agree with the guy that called in from Fairbanks, his own business. I'm pulled over on the side of the road in my dump truck waiting to get online with you guys. So get this thing up and running and then figure out what to do. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Great, and we appreciate you waiting and calling in to testify. So the last person I've got here is Mr. Emerson Seesert calling in from Anchorage.
Hi, I'm 22. I worked on the slope from 18 to 21. Provided great, great money for me and the economic value for the state. The pipeline would be astronomically good. Provide lower fuel price, heating prices for rural Alaska and the rest of the states. I grew up in rural Alaska and Glen Allen. I have a brother working on the slope. It'll just create a lot of jobs and provide stable gas for the majority of the state. And that's, I support it. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents in. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. And did I get your last name right? Emerson, is that Seesert?
Yeah, Seifert, S-E-I-F-E-R-T.
Great, appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Is there anyone in Fairbanks? I don't think there's anybody else up in Fairbanks, but I'm just doing a double check here. And there's nobody else, I think, on lines. And so with that, we appreciate everyone calling in to testify. A lot of good, valuable feedback. And are there any questions of the committee in terms of what the plan is? We're, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a funeral tomorrow, I understand, and also some commitments. So we won't be coming in today, but we will be tomorrow, which is Sunday, May 31st. No meeting tomorrow. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, June 1st at 1:30 p.m. And at that meeting, we'll take invited testimony from the Anchorage Municipality and NSTAR, Matanuska Electric Association, and possibly Chugach Electric Association. So if there's nothing else to come for the committee, appreciate everyone popping in today and giving your testimony again. And we're going to go ahead and be adjourned at 2:50 p.m. Thank you.